It's a blessing to be back in church. It's a blessing to also see everyone. I think when Jody was leading prayer, she said something. She said, many people had plans for 2020, but unfortunately, they were not able to see their plans. It's a blessing to be here in church 2 weeks before the end of the year. God has kept you. You're still alive. You're still doing well. You're still healthy. It's a blessing to count your blessings, right? So even though this year many things have changed for many of us, it's a blessing that we are here. It's a blessing that you can count your blessings, count the things that God has done for you. Do not forget the things that the Lord has done for you. And we've been talking about that over the past several weeks. We've been talking about the issue of people who forget. And we'll continue that today as well. So let's just have a quick word of prayer before we begin. Father, I thank you for this time in your presence, Lord. I thank you for another week. I thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to be here, to be in your midst. I'm thankful to you, Lord, for what you are doing. I'm thankful to you, God, for the life of each and every person in the church this afternoon. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to keep us, continue to direct us, continue to guide our path. Help us, oh Lord, to grow. Help us, Lord, to be developed. Lord, help us not to stay on the same level, God. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. Lord, use me this afternoon. I pray, Lord, that the message comes directly from you, God. Use me to speak to somebody. Use me, Lord, to help somebody. Use me, Lord, to help somebody to be blessed this afternoon. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So over the past several weeks, like I said, we've been discussing the topic of forgetfulness. And I think it's appropriate as the year ends to be reminded on the importance of being Christians who remember. The way this year has gone, many things have happened this year that none of us planned for. I was just telling somebody recently that, when we were going from 2019 into 2020, we had no idea that, our lives were basically going to change. In just a few months, just maybe in 3 months, we had no idea what was planned. So as we are going into 2021, we truly have no idea what is waiting for us next year. That's just the honest truth. But what we do know is that God can keep us. God can keep us alive. God can keep you strong. He can keep you healthy. He can even help you to prosper, no matter what is happening. There are many of us who have finished college, finished your first semester of college. You've still been working, even if you've stayed employed throughout this entire pandemic, it's a blessing. We actually have somebody, one of our members, who graduated college just last Friday. So we're going to pray for her at the end of service today. But you see, God is still doing things for people, even in the midst of a pandemic. So yeah, it's a blessing to be here. Last week, we spoke on some of the evils that befall people who forget, and some of the problems with people who forget, and some of the challenges that people who forget they face. And we went through a list, and one of the things that we actually saw was people who forget. One of the things we actually went over was people who forget are constantly demoted. I'll just give a quick review of last week. People who forget are constantly demoted, right? People who are not able to remember what the Lord has done for them, people who are not able to remember the good things that God has done for them, are demoted. It means that you're not able to go on to the next level in your life. You're not able to increase the way the Lord wants you to increase. You're not able to do the things the way that God wants you to do them. And when these evils come into your life, they're subtle, but they have a great impact. Yeah, you may not be able to see them. They may not be huge. You wouldn't even know why certain bad things are happening to you, but it's because of your forgetfulness. And we have a verse, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. If we can show that verse, please. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. But the key thing here is God is not unjust. If you read this verse in your Bible, in another version, it says, God is not unrighteous. He will not forget. So it is actually a sign of unrighteousness to forget. You are actually living in sin when you become a Christian who is constantly forgetful about the things the Lord has done for them. So we discussed that last week, and you know, we actually went over a few other evils. One of the other evils was forgetful people become murmurers. They become people that talk behind people's back. The very person who has helped you to accomplish what you've accomplished, you actually begin to talk about them negatively. Forgetful people are rejected. People who are forgetful become rejected. And then we also said people who are forgetful repeat mistakes. Yeah, when you forget what you have learned, you know, one of the things that you should really try and do is become somebody who remembers. Because when you remember what your mistakes have been in the past, you won't easily repeat them. So those are some of the evils. And now, so I'm sure as we've been discussing forgetfulness, you may be wondering what are some of the ways or some things we can do that will help us to remember. So for those of you taking notes, and if you come to church as a Christian, you know, I say this every week, if you come to church as a Christian, you should come with a Bible and you should take notes also, you know, whether it's in your notepad on your phone or with a physical notepad, it's good to take notes because, you know, we're in church for a very short time. In the next maybe 20, 25 minutes, I'm done talking. So, you know, taking notes helps us to remember, you know, as well as listening to the messages again. For those of you who don't know, every message is actually recorded. And if you have an iPhone, and I'm sure most of us do, if you have an iPhone, we're actually on the Apple Podcast. So if you go to your podcast app on your cell phone and you search First Love Church Delaware, or I believe it's FLC Delaware, it'll come up. And every Sunday, the messages are loaded on there. And you can actually turn on your notifications. So when a new message is uploaded, you'll be notified, and you can listen again. It's a blessing. So yeah, keys that will help you to remember. Some of the keys that help people to remember, right? So one of the keys that you can use that will help you to be somebody who remembers is grow in your understanding of why God blesses people. Yeah, grow in your understanding of why God blesses people. Now, see, God blesses people. Many times we may ask ourselves, why does this person seem to be so blessed? Or why does this person seem to be doing so much better than other people? Many times God blesses people due to simply what's inside of their heart. Yeah, many times you are blessed just because of what's inside of you. We don't have this verse, but if you read in the Bible, the story of King David in the Bible, you know, many people wondered why David was so blessed, because David was someone who made a lot of mistakes. There's a story in the Bible where it says that, you know, David was the king of Israel, and David had sent his men to go to war. It's in 2 Samuel, if you want to read it. So David had sent his men to go to war. And when David sent his men to go to war, David was home. And the Bible actually says that David walked outside of his palace, and he saw, he went outside of his palace onto his balcony. And the Bible says that David actually saw a woman showering there. And he told one of the people inside of his palace to go and get the woman and bring her inside the palace. And he talked to the lady and asked the lady, "Are you married?" And she said, "Yes." So then David actually sent someone to go and kill her husband, who was fighting in the war. And then David took his wife and had sex with his wife and had a child with his wife. Yeah, so, and this is the king of Israel. And this is something that he's done. He's made a mistake. He was punished for it. Don't think that he did this and he wasn't punished. He was punished for it in the Bible, but he was still blessed. And many times the reason why people are blessed is because of what's inside of their heart. You know, in the Bible, God describes David as someone who was a man after his own heart. Yeah, and you can tell when you read your Bible, you know, in Psalms, if you go back to Psalms 100, I think it's one of the first verses we have, you know, King David wrote the majority of Psalms. Yeah, so somebody who sinned, somebody who made a lot of mistakes, had a lot of problems, he still pressed on toward his relationship with Christ. You know, he wrote this, the same person who went and killed someone's husband to go and have their wife, to have a child with their wife, is the same person who wrote, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and his praise and praise his name." It's the same person that wrote that the person who did that action is the same person who had this in his heart. Yeah. So many times when we sin, you know, don't allow the devil to make you feel as though you're guilty, make you feel as though you're bad, make you feel as though God doesn't want to hear from you. Yeah, because I believe that that is one of the main tools of the devil, one of the main traps of the devil that he uses to make Christians pull away from God. Yeah, and a lot of times that's what happens to us. You know, we pull away from God because we're feeling guilty, because we feel like, oh, look at all the sins I have. Look at all the problems I have. Look at all the mistakes I have. And it's like, how could God want to hear from me? But he still does. Even after David went and did what he did, God still wanted to hear from him. God doesn't turn his back on his people just because of our mistakes. So never think that you are too bad for God. Never think that it's like God can't talk to you or you can't go and talk to God. Always fight that feeling. Whenever you begin to feel guilty, fight it. Don't sit in it. Don't allow it to work. Amen. But yeah, so the first key that will help you to remember is growing in your understanding of why God blesses people. And once again, God blesses us because of what is inside of our heart. Your heart will always show you who you really are. That's why the Bible says that God searches your heart. God knows what is inside of you. Your desire to come to church every Sunday like this says something about what's inside of your heart, because you could very easily be doing something else. Yeah, your desire to want to do something in church says something about what's in your heart. And God sees your heart. He doesn't see your outward appearance. Yeah. If we have the book of James, the verse in James chapter 1, verse 22, if we could please show that. James 1, 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word." So there's actually a, I'm not quite sure how many of you have heard this. It's like a proverb or a famous saying. It actually says, So it's like a famous proverb. It's a famous saying that people say. And it actually says, "You hear, you forget. You see, you remember. But you do, you understand." So it's actually saying that what you do shows what you understood. And in James 1:22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word." So become people who do what the word of God says. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You are only deceiving yourselves when you are constantly hearing messages. Yeah, if you are just coming to church every Sunday, hearing my voice, but it doesn't have a change in your life, you are only deceiving yourself. You rather shouldn't even come, to be honest. Something must change about the way you're living your life. If you are coming to church, if you're constantly hearing, don't become like a believer who constantly hears but never changes. Yeah, and it says something about what's in your heart when you can change. God will bless you because of the change, the little effort he sees you making. It's not that it's a drastic change. It's not that it's something that can happen overnight, but the little change that you make, the little effort that he sees can open a blessing for you. If we have James 1, verse 13 to 14, please, James 1, 13 to 14, it says, "When you are tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.'" Yeah, so once again, we are talking about some of the things that will show you that it is by a blessing. Sorry, we are talking about why you must grow in your understanding of why God blesses people. Grow in your understanding of why does God bless some people and why he doesn't. And one of the ways that God blesses people is through those who are able to overcome temptation. Yeah, those who are able to overcome temptation. The verse here says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." So when we are going through a certain amount of temptation, you know, don't think it's God who's tempting you. As the Bible is saying here, that God doesn't tempt anyone. But what it says is that, "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. It's what's already in you. Yeah, once again, the heart must be changed. It's your heart that has to be changed. What is already in you is what causes you to make the same mistake again and again. What is already inside of you is what causes you to continually sin. What is already inside of you is what eventually drags you away. Yeah, it is what's inside of you that causes us to make the same mistake. When David went and saw the woman showering and brought her inside his house, something was already in him. It wasn't, don't think, oh, why did, sometimes we wonder, oh, why did God allow David to be home when she, no, it's already in him. Yeah, it's already something that was in him. Many times we'll ask ourselves questions like, oh, why did God allow me to be here? You know, if God is caring and God is watching, why did God allow me to be here to experience this thing and allow me to make this mistake? But there's something called self-control also. Yeah, self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. There's something you must have an ability to control your own desires, your own things that you struggle with. You must have an ability to control those things. And that ability to control those things is what shows that you are, that something in your heart is changing. Those who can control that, those who are able to control their desires are blessed. Yeah, those who can control their desires are blessed. Because when you can control your desires, you are not dragged away. It says right here in the verse that, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away. When they are dragged away, you are literally pulled away from God by what's in you. It's never Christ. It's never God's fault. It's you. And you must pray about your desires. Yeah. You must pray about the things that easily make you sin, the situations that easily make you fall. You must pray about them often. Talk to God about them. Don't be shy about what you easily fall to. Don't be shy about your problems. Be honest with God, because he knows your problems. He knows what easily makes you fall. I believe there's a verse like that that says sins that easily beseech you, like sins that easily make you fall. You should pray and talk to God about what those problems are in your life and those issues. Yeah, talk to God about those. So what are some things that can provoke God to bless you? So now if we're talking about understanding why God blesses people, and we may want to know what are some of the things that provoke God's blessing. Number one is tithing. When you pay your tithe, you provoke God to bless you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, please. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. So this is God speaking, and God is saying, test me in this. This is the only time in the Bible that God says, test me. If you read this verse in another version, it's God says, put me to the test. It says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. This is the way he is describing the blessing associated with tithing. He says, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. That's what God is saying, test him with. Yeah, so when you don't pay your tithes, tithes is 10% of all your income. Whenever you get paid, you give 10%, you pay it to the church. When you don't pay your tithes, this is the blessing you are missing out on. This is one of the number one ways to provoke a blessing in your life. It's very clear, very explicit. God says, I will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much of a blessing. I mean, the blessing is so much that you will not have the room to store the blessing. And then he's not only saying that, but he's rather standing confidently in it, because he's saying, test me. Like, you do it. You just begin tithing and see if things in your life don't begin to change. Yeah. So if we're looking on ways we can provoke a blessing, if we're looking for ways that we can open the floodgates of heaven, you know, I don't know about you, but I would like the floodgates of heaven to be opened over my life. And God says here that the way you can do that is by tithing. Just paying 10% of all your income to the church provokes that blessing of having the floodgates of heaven opened over your life. Amen. The second way that you can provoke a blessing from God is having a heart to serve God, having a heart to serve God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, please. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. You see, God is saying that your labor for working for him, what is inside of your heart when you choose to serve God in any capacity. Yeah, don't just think this is applying to pastors or people who are preaching. In any capacity that you choose to serve God, the Bible is saying, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. It's like all your work, all your efforts you are doing is not in vain in the Lord. God isn't just watch. He blesses you. Yeah, God, he doesn't just watch when you are doing things for him. As you see Jody singing every week for us, God is not just watching, he's blessing her. Yeah, as you see Ty projecting scriptures every week, he's not just watching Ty do that, he's blessing Ty. When you see Patricia moderating the service, you know, he's not just watching Patricia moderate the service, he blesses her. So, you know, when you are making an effort to serve God, when you are making an effort to do something for Christ, he doesn't just watch and sit by. He blesses you for your effort, because many people don't do things for God. If we're going to be honest, many people don't do things for God. Many people spend their whole life focused on themselves, their family, and they think it's a good life. They actually forget that God is the person who's giving them the family. They forget that God is the person who gave them the strength. They forget all about it. They just focus on, oh, let me focus on myself, my career, maybe my parents, my husband or wife, my children. Like that's their central focus. Nothing above you, nothing can make you say, I want to do something that's for God. That's for a God that I cannot see. Nothing above you will make you do that. Yeah, so if we're looking to provoke a blessing, it's having a heart to serve God. And so that's why every week we ask for people who want to do something in church. Yeah, there's some people who are doing things even in the background. So you may see Ty, you may see Patricia, you may see Jody doing things openly on Sunday. You know, this week, for those of you who attended, we had a camp with our bishop, and he talked about the underground church. And one of the things he said about the underground church is that the underground church requires everybody to be moving hand in hand. Everybody plays a part. Yeah. So this thing that's happening right now, what you see that's happening right now, on Sunday afternoon, this is called the Superground Church. But there's a lot of work that's gone in to make this service happen, even the way it's happening. Yeah, even to have the messages recorded and put on podcasts and everything, it's work. Somebody has done that, not me. Yeah, so it's a blessing to want to serve God. It's a blessing to want to do something for God. And the Bible says that God, that your labor for God is not in vain, amen. Another thing you can do that will provoke a blessing from God is praying. When you pray, you provoke a blessing from the Lord. Acts chapter 10 and verse 31. We're talking about how to become blessed. You know, I hope you are listening. It's like, if you want to become blessed, these are some of the things you can do. Number one, pay your tithes. Number two, having a heart to serve God. Number three, praying. When you pray, you provoke a blessing from God. Acts chapter 10, verse 31, the Bible says, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Amen. So just to provide context, Cornelius was a man of God. He was just a Christian. And the Bible says that Cornelius, if you read in Acts 10, the Bible says that Cornelius was praying. He was actually in the middle of praying. And an angel appeared to Cornelius as he was praying. And this is what the angel said to Cornelius. It says that thy prayer is heard and thine alms are heard. I'll get to that, to the second part in a second. But the prayer is what provoked a blessing to come. Cornelius was about to become blessed, and it was because God had heard his prayers. God hears you when you pray. Yeah, when you pray, it provokes a blessing. When you speak to God, when you openly ask God for things, it provokes a blessing in your life. It's important to become a believer, you know, who prays. Pray and talk to God about your life, the people in your life. the situations in your life. It's important to remember God. And God hears you when you pray. That's why it says that that prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard. Like, God has heard your prayer. And the second part of this, if you're looking to provoke a blessing from the Lord, the second part after prayer is offering. When you see the word thine alms, alms is another word for offering. So Cornelius was praying, and the angel appeared to Cornelius and said that your prayers and your offerings have come before you. Yeah, a blessing was coming before him because of his prayer and because of his offering. So when you pay your offerings as well, you provoke a blessing from the Lord. Yeah, these are things that God sees, because many people don't do it. Many Christians don't pray much. Many Christians don't really give offering. Many Christians don't really pay tithe. Many Christians don't serve God. So when you do those, you become special in the sight of God. God marks you. He can tell. Yeah, it takes something in your heart for you to take a decision that every time you get paid, you'll give 10%. I mean, it takes something in you. Something has to be in your heart or you won't do it. Yeah, that's why, you know, we read the verse in James chapter 1 that said, be ye doers of the word. So don't just hear me talk about paying offering, but you must become somebody who actually begins to pay your offering. Yeah, you're just deceiving yourself. Amen. So the first point, for those of us taking notes again, is grow in your understanding of why God blesses people. That's a very deep point. I could go on, but for the sake of time, we'll move on. So the second point is, do not let your success destroy your memory. Do not let the things you become successful in destroy your memory. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, please. Deuteronomy chapter 8. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Amen. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. God is the person who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Yeah, it comes from the Lord. If you are able to make money, if you're able to become successful in any area of your life, you know, it comes directly from the Lord. Yeah, it comes from God. God is the, it's not because you went to school. Yeah, it's not because you, because there are many people that go to school, but they never are able, after going to school, to really make a certain amount of money. There are people with master's degrees. People with master's degrees. It means that you have a bachelor's already. So you've gone to school for your bachelor's and then a master's, who don't earn as much as some people with just a bachelor's degree. So there's a certain wisdom working. There's a certain blessing working. And if you are able to really get to a certain level, I mean, there's people with even bachelor's degrees who don't make as much as people that never went to college. So it comes from the Lord. When you see some people are blessed financially, it's God that blesses you financially. It's not you, it's not your hard work, it's not your success, it's not anything you have done. It is from the Lord. We have a short story in the Bible that actually shows you an example of how financial blessings come from God. And the mind you should have when God begins to bless you financially. If we can turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 12. It's a short story. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Yeah, Luke chapter 12, verse 16. So there was a certain rich man, and Jesus was beginning to tell the disciples about a parable, so like a story. And the Bible says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. So the ground, if we can go back, please. Yes, thank you. So the ground of this rich man, you know, he yielded an abundant harvest. He means that he was very prosperous. He yielded, he was making a lot of money, basically. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? All this money that I have now, what shall I do? I have no place to store it. I have no place to store my crops. In those times, when you have an abundant harvest, a lot of crops, it means you are rich, because people will now come to you and buy from you. So you basically have your own personal farmer's market. So next verse, please. Verse 18. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Yeah, he says, I'll tear down my current barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Many people, when they become successful, that last line is their approach to life. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Become happy. Yeah, don't, like, he didn't mention God. He didn't even mention continuing to work hard or continuing to plant more crops. He said, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. But the mistake that the rich man made here was he assumed he would have many years. He assumed that God would give him that type of life. Next verse. But God said to him, you fool, this very night, the same night he said what he said, God said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Yeah, that the same night that he made the point to himself about, oh, I'm going to eat, drink, be merry, and take life easy. God told him that your soul will be required from you this night, the same night. Then who will get everything you've prepared for yourself? Yeah, next, verse 21, please. This is how it will be for whosoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. So don't forget that it is God who gives you your prosperity. It is God who blesses you. Don't forget that God is the person that has given you what you have. The mistake the rich man made is like, he worked and worked. He planted, he built, he had so many grain, even to the point where he said that he was going to tear down his current barns. If we can go back to that verse, I think it was 18. I think it was 18 and 19. Yeah, he says, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I mean, he was really making plans. Yeah, but the mistake many people make when they become successful is, number one, they forget God. So what I'm telling you this afternoon is try not to forget God. Always remember when you become successful that God is the person who helped you to be successful. And verse 21 is a very important verse that you should take with you from today. It says, this is how it will be. So for anyone of us who we become successful, who we become rich, but we forget to become rich toward God, what will happen to us is what happened to the rich man in verse 20. In verse 20, God told him, tonight, your soul will be required from you. If we can go to verse 20, please. It says, this very night, your life will be demanded from you, like tonight. Yeah, many times when you become successful, you're never, and you forget God, or you forget that God is the one who has given you, and you forget God. Many times what happens is you're never able to enjoy everything he's given you. Yeah, you're never able to really benefit from what he's given you because you're not rich toward God. So as you are growing in your life, you know, as you are becoming more and more successful, you know, today we're celebrating somebody's graduation. As we are having more graduations to celebrate, let's not forget that it is God who helps us. You see, it is God who helps us. God is the one who helps us to go from level to level. Yeah, it is God. So, wow, I'm really being, even me myself, you know, as I'm reading this verse or this story in Luke, I'm even being blessed. It's actually a very powerful story that your life will be demanded from you. So always try and help yourself. Even if you just remember this story, when you become successful, always remember that it is God who has helped you to become successful. So once you become successful, quickly begin to think, how can I become rich towards God? What can I do to become rich towards God? Always think that way. Always think, don't, you know, we learned today, what are some things that provoke a blessing from God? One of the things that will provoke a blessing is having a heart to serve him. Yeah, so don't lose that heart. Don't lose that heart. Amen. I've been blessed. I hope you are also blessed by this message. You know, while just for a few moments, just for a few short minutes, let's bow our head and close our eyes And let's ask God, touch your heart, place your hand over your heart, and, you know, talk to God and ask him to help you. Ask him to help you not to become forgetful. Ask him to help you to not become somebody who's forgetful, somebody who doesn't remember the things that he has done for you. You know, God has given you another day, another opportunity. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. So let's just take a few moments and pray. Father, I pray for each and every person that was a part of today's service. Lord, I pray that you will help us, oh God, help us to become like believers who do not forget. Help us, oh God, to remember the things you have done for us, oh God. When we become successful, Lord, may we not become like the rich man, God. May we become like those, Lord, who remember you. May we not just take life easy, but rather, God, may we try to become rich towards you when we are successful. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for what you are, for where you are taking us, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for the direction of the church and the direction of each and every person in the church, Lord. We are thankful, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So at this time, we'll be taking our offering.